Welcome to Calming Harp, the sounds of David's Psalms. I'm glad you've joined us for this brief moment we share together. I will be playing some of the music that has been brought out of the Psalms. My name is Steve Reese. I play the harp. And over the last several years, I've been bringing the sounds of David's Psalms into recordings. You can find a lot of my music on my website, www.calmingharp.com. I have CDs available and MP3s. And you can go to YouTube. If you go to YouTube and then type in Peregrinati, Peregrinnatti, you will find hours of beautiful harp music that you can just play in the background and be calmed with the music that David may have played for his sheep at one time or another. So as we share this half hour, join me and enjoy the sounds of David's harp. Well, hello once again to everybody. It's the 9th of September here in Florida. We are still here. And things have been progressing pretty well. So I know many of you have been praying for my father-in-law, and he is doing very well, so much better than so many people thought he would. And so we just really appreciate all of your prayers. One side of his right wound is totally healed, and his left wound is about dime size now, very small. Probably in a couple of weeks it will be totally healed as well. So things are looking very good on that score, and we're moving forward continually with physical therapy. So everything's looking, we've come a long way, baby. So it's all been good. Learned a lot in the process. Anyway, this morning I was asked to play the harp at a church service, and I selected Psalm 42. Not the psalm as I normally transcribe them from the psalm text, but a common song that a lot of people know as "The Deer Pants for the Water." And I thought I would just bounce off of that for this week's session with y'all. The thing about this psalm that strikes me, it's something I had not thought of before, and I shared it with the congregation this morning before I played. You have to remember that David was out in the wilderness a lot. First of all, he took his sheep out there, and so he probably saw a lot of deer, a lot of harts or antelope or whichever species was in his area. And he probably observed them a lot. And for one thing, they were competitors for pasture with his sheep, or his sheep were competitors with them. But most likely there was enough to go around. But one of the jobs of a shepherd is to, when the sheep get thirsty, to find a brook of water or a pool of water or some kind of water source so that his sheep can have refreshing water, not only to be refreshed, but also to stay alive. Because we know that, you know, it just in the same way that life is in the blood, water carries life as well. And if we go too long without water, we don't live it much longer. And I know we talked with one lady that did a 5-day fast without even water. And at the end of the 5 days, she was barely able to move. And it was an amazing experience for her because the father showed himself in a very incredible way to her that probably would not have happened in any other way. But just saying that the 5 days without water basically is a death sentence, or very close to it. So David is writing here as the deer pants for the water. And that word pants is an interesting word. It's the word in Hebrew, arag. And it can mean to long for, or to cry for, or to literally pant. And any of you that have any kind of animals, I'm sure at some point along the way, if they've been out walking around along in a hot area, and you come back to the house and they're just like that, you know, they're just really panting, literally panting for water. And you put a little bit of water in their bowl and they just slurp it up so fast, just can't lick it in fast enough. And that response of being thirsty like that, I'm sure David saw that with his sheep as he brought them through a dry stretch and finally brought them up to a brook that was safe to drink. I'm sure he saw them dash into the water and begin to soak up the water. David never writes his Psalms just to give us a nature lesson. He's wanting us to know something about God, or wanting to share with us something that he learned about God. And so he's saying, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. And then he says, when shall I come and appear before God? So he's been in a dry stretch. He's asking, when am I going to appear? He's like, right now God seems to be absent from me, and I need him. I'm thirsty. I need refreshing. I need what he has, what I've come to depend on from him. I need it. And I just wonder, I'm just challenging myself as I wonder this and share with you. Do we stay as focused on our Heavenly Father to recognize when we're in that dry stretch where we need him, where we begin to pant after him, where we begin to recognize that we are thirsty and nothing is going to satisfy that drive of thirst nothing but our Heavenly Father. Nothing beside him is going to satisfy that thirst. If we are thirsty for water, if somebody gives us a ham sandwich or a spam sandwich or an egg salad sandwich, or, you know, choose your, you know, I don't know why I chose ham, but I don't eat ham. But anyway, that's not going to satisfy our thirst. In fact, it's probably going to make it even worse because our mouth is already so dry. And so nothing is going to satisfy that thirst or that panting outside of the one thing that we are thirsting for, the one thing that we are panting for, the one thing and only thing that is going to take away that panting and take away that thirst, that drive. Our bodies are built to, when they start to get dehydrated, to make us thirsty. Our brain starts to give this thirst signal to us that you've got to seek out water and find it pretty soon, or else you are going to be dead. And so how many of us have a relationship with our Heavenly Father that is tuned to that level, that when we start to run into that dry patch without him, that our bodies, our souls, our spirits, our spirit self will begin to give us the signal, you need your Father. You need him now. don't go much longer without him or you will die. How many of us have that tuning in place? I have to ask myself that question, and I hope each of you will ask yourself that question as well. So David goes on in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? So David is having a crisis here. He's in a crisis period. He is without his Heavenly Father, and he knows it. And he's longing to come back into the presence of his Father. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy days or the feasts. And then he asks himself, so he's recognizing that when he's with God and when he's with the people who are with God, things are really good and he's joyful. But now he finds himself in a tough spot. And then he asks himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God, and I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So once again, he's saying, as soon as my Heavenly Father appears, I'm going to be okay. It's going to be good again. Oh, my Elohim, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. All your waves and your billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord, Yahweh, will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto my God, unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I around mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Reminds me of that one fellow who kept saying, God is dead. And then somewhere along the way, God said, well, he's dead. I guess that was Nietzsche. And then once again, David goes over almost exactly the same wording once again as it was in verse 8, or not 8, but verse 6. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is health, the health of my countenance and my God. He is the health of my countenance. That's who my God is. That's who my Heavenly Father is. He's the health of my countenance. When I find myself in these dry spots out in the desert, thirsting for water, for the water of life, for my Heavenly Father, he will shed his loving kindness towards me, and I will praise him once again. So I'm going to play on the harp, and Shirley's going to read from the Psalm 42 along with the music, as the deer pants for the water.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O Yahweh. My soul thirsts for Yah, for the living Yah. When can I go and meet with Yah? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your Yah?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of Yahweh, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in Yahweh, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my Yah. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, Yahweh directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the Yah of my life. I say to Yah, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, "Where is your Yah?" Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in Yahweh, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my Yah.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for you, O Yahweh. Pants, thirsts, desires, all of these words come together. As we think about the deer finding itself in the wilderness without water, longing for a place, to find a place that has water, and then comparing that with our own lives, of finding ourselves in a wilderness place, desiring the water of life, desiring to find a place that has the water of life to offer. Think of Yeshua, Jesus, when He was at the well with the woman, and He said, if you asked for the water that I have, you would never have to ask again. And she said, well, sir, you don't even have anything to draw water with. And you're talking to me about giving me water? I'm the one that's going to have to give you water. But obviously, Yeshua was not talking about the water that was at the bottom of the well there. He was talking about the water of life, which is what we're talking about today. David was using a simple, biological, natural phenomena to illustrate a spiritual principle that was much more important. In the same way that our bodies, I call them our earth suits, you realize that we are spirit beings. We are encased in this skin called an earth suit, called the body. But the real us is a spiritual being. And I have a whole understanding about that I won't go into here, but I believe that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell, something changed in their nature of what they even looked like or what they were even made out of. And the needs that we now experience as far as thirst and food and all those things may not have been needs that they had as predominantly spiritual beings, spirit beings. But because they chose to have to eat something out of their desire for it, they became subject to it. And so water and food became a necessity for staying alive. And, you know, I can't say any more than that without going way deep, and I'm not going to bother you with that, but it's something to think about, that our Heavenly Father, no matter what state we're in, He is the water of life. He's the water for our spirit. He is also the water of provision for these earth suits that we are encased in. And no matter where we are that we find a need, He is the one to supply that need. There are many people throughout the history of this world that have tried other sources to meet those needs. But every time those other sources fall short, they may look good, smell good, taste good, give a nice buzz, whatever. But at the end of the day, they don't take care of the need. They don't supply the need. It's only our Heavenly Father who can supply what we need. And so it's interesting, as we, Shirley and I, were reading through Scripture every morning. We are in several more chapters, and so frequently you come in across these words of how Israel, God's people, who were called by His name, who were in covenant with Him to follow His ways, so frequently turned to false gods, gods made of wood and stone and gold and silver and bronze and whatnot. And did some of the most foolish things, offering their children in the fire of Molech. I mean, God said, I can't understand why you're doing this. That never even came into my mind, that I certainly haven't asked you to do it. And I've never even thought of doing it. How did you even think of doing this? And yet here you are doing it in front of me and trying to say that you're worshiping. And He wasn't happy because they were choosing another God, another little g God, something that was totally against what He had set up for them for life and for blessing. At the end of Deuteronomy, He says, I have given you these teachings so that you will have life and that you'll have blessing. But if you want to do your own thing, it will result in cursing and death. So now, please, today, now that I've laid this before you, please choose life, choose blessing. But He gives us the choice at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it is our choice whether we want to appeal to Him and seek Him out to satisfy our thirst, or whether we want to find another way that we think is going to satisfy it. And at the end of the day, we're going to find out that it was, like in one place in Scripture, he says, you have created cisterns for storing water and you have found them to be empty. You've tried to find another source of water, but that source has failed you. Now please come back. I can give you the water of life. That's our Heavenly Father. That's what He has designed for us. And David in Psalm 42 is choosing to remind us of that by having us look at the deer in the wilderness as it pants in the heat of the day, looking for a source of water and asking itself, or just in its dumb thought pattern, saying, "Where's the water? I need water. I'm going to die if I don't get water." And in that same way, if we are really paying attention to our spiritual condition, our spiritual life, when we come into those stretches, we say, "Father, I need water. I need water. Where are you?" And as David says, "Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why are you so downcast? Turn to the living God. He has the answer. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in Elohim, for I shall yet praise him. He is the health of my countenance. He is my God." Why are you cast down? There's no need to be cast down, because our Heavenly Father has provided everything we need. The only issue we have is connecting with him. When we're in those dry spots, turn to him, connect with him, and live. So I hope you've enjoyed our time together. Stay tuned, as I say, little pun. I have many more songs to share with you. I have more to share about how this all comes together. And I pray that you will share and help people, especially those you see stressed, especially in these times that we're going through. Bring people to this calming and this peace and this rest that this beautiful music of the Psalms of David brings to each of our lives. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you next week. Many, many blessings to you all today.